This is an iHeart podcast.
I have a theory on this Trump Epstein stuff, why he's still talking about it, what's going on. You might be mad at me, you might cheer, I don't really care, but we're going to talk about it tonight and some other things on I'm Right. Okay, so I'm about to lay something out for you. You're going to have to be patient because I'm going to lay it out. It's a theory. Now, it's about Trump and Epstein and why he's saying publicly all the things he's saying right now. He's getting asked about it every day. He keeps answering the same way. He keeps putting the same stuff out on social media. People are confused. People are angry. Some people want to move on. Some people think he's a liar. Some people, people are all over the map on this. My email is full of things on this. So I'm about to lay out my theory on why you're seeing what you're seeing. Some of this is backed up by stuff we know. Some of this is backed up by things sources have told me, and I will be honest about that. Whenever I get to a part that a source has told me or something we know, I'll tell you. And whenever I get to something I think, because some of this is just theory, I will tell you. But I'm about to lay it out for you. And remember, this is not your mommy's show. This is your daddy's show. If at any point in time anything I say offends you, I don't care. Okay? I just want to make that completely clear. I don't care. This is my theory. This is what I believe. Some of this may sound like I'm protecting Trump. Some of it may sound like I'm insulting Trump. I'm not actually doing either of those things. I'm telling you what I believe is reality. So let's deal with it. Almost every single day now, at least in the past few days in recent memory, this has happened multiple times publicly. Donald Trump has been asked, hey, those Epstein files, what's going on with them? And he is consistently now answering this question like this.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled? Why do you think that is?
Why they would be so interested? He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them get.
Okay. Mr. Producer, please hang on to that piece of audio, piece of video. I'm going to call for it again after we get to a different one. Now, that Donald Trump speaking right there, he said almost identical things to that publicly. He put out another social media post this morning about it, almost identical. Move on. This is dumb. This is a fabrication. Only bad people want it. This is crazy. That's not the same Donald Trump who was on the campaign trail saying this.
But a lot of big people went to that island. But fortunately, I was not one of them.
It's just very strange for a lot of people that the list of clients that went to the island has not been made public.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? Probably will be, by the way. Probably.
So if you're able to, you'll be...
Yeah, I'd certainly take a look at it. Now, Kennedy's interesting because it's so many years ago. You know, they do that for danger, too, because, you know, it endangers certain people, et cetera, et cetera.
Would you declassify the Epstein files?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. I'll declassify him. A lot of bad people with it. Okay. Now it's move on. What's the big deal? Here's my theory. And once I lay it out, I'll go back and we'll listen to what Trump says again. Here is my theory. I'm going to tell you what I think, what I know, what I've heard. Here's one of the things I have heard from a source a very well-placed source who would know, and that's all I can tell you. I heard that after Joe Biden won the election and before Donald Trump was sworn in as president, that organizations like the FBI, full of evil committed communists, were very, very, very busy. They weren't sitting around playing solitaire at their desk waiting for Donald Trump to be sworn in as president. They were aware that there is a man coming who was angry with the deep state and a man who was going to be looking at things and appointing people who were going to be looking at things, and they were making preparations. It was described to me, the exact term this person used was tripwires, that they were putting tripwires everywhere, okay? That I heard from a source. There's something else I heard from a source. We've talked before about the FBI whistleblowers. Why haven't they been brought back? Why we have these FBI whistleblowers, they're not brought back. They're not brought back. I had a source inform me that one of the reasons, at least one of them hasn't been brought back, is in that lag time in between Biden losing and Donald Trump getting sworn in, that some things were inserted into his file that made him look bad. Now you want to hire him back? Somebody put a tripwire in there. That's the kind of thing the intelligence community will do. Okay. Now those are things I've heard from sources. What else have we heard? What else do we know? Well, we know, courtesy of Mike Benz. Remember, he did that long interview on this show. You can go watch our YouTube channel at Jesse Kelly DC if you want to watch it. It's all free. He elaborated extensively on Jeffrey Epstein's ties to the Central Intelligence Agency, clear back to the 1980s, to the point he was gifted a mansion in New York by the State Department. This is a human being, whatever his crimes were, and I don't think we'll ever know the full extent of them, with high up connections, the kind of connections that can hand you a mansion in New York City. Those are the kind of connections he had. Now, let's talk about Elon Musk very briefly. Do you remember when Elon Musk and Donald Trump had that really public, immature, public fallout on social media where they were throwing poop at each other and it was awful and you were uncomfortable and I was uncomfortable? One of the things Elon Musk said, you can read it right there on the screen, Donald Trump is in the Epstein files. That's the real reason they have not been made public. Have a nice day. Mark this post for the future. He has since deleted that, but he said it. That's quite an accusation to make, isn't it? Here's something else I've been told by a source who would know. Person did not give me a name, but the person told me without telling me, Jesse, be careful wanting all these files released. Some people may look really bad who you like, who we like. Okay, now, let's go back to what Trump has been saying before I give you my final theory. Trump has been saying a lot. In fact, I want to rewind. I want to play that video again of him outside the plane. And I want you to listen to things he references when it comes to the intelligence community. Mueller report, things like, listen to this.
Mr. President, I know you've urged people to move on, but I'm curious, why do you think your supporters in particular have been so interested in the Epstein story and so upset about how it's been handled? Why do you think that is?
Why they would be so interested? He's dead for a long time. He was never a big factor in terms of life. I don't understand what the interest or what the fascination is. I really don't. And the credible information's been given. Don't forget, we went through years of the Mueller witch hunt and all of the different things, the Steele dossier, which was all fake. All that information was fake. But I don't understand why the Jeffrey Epstein case would be of interest to anybody. It's pretty boring stuff. It's sordid, but it's boring. And I don't understand why it keeps going. I think only pretty bad people, including fake news, want to keep something like that going. But credible information, let them get.
We already have the credible information. Only bad people want this stuff released. The credible information has already been released. Don't you remember the Steele dossier? The Mueller report? Don't you remember? The dirty things these people have done? Dirty things the deep state has got done? He's referenced it several times. Here he was today talking about Epstein and the FBI.
I know it's a hoax. It's started by Democrats. It's been run by the Democrats for 4 years. You had Christopher Wray and these characters and Comey before him. And it's a bad group. It started, actually, look at the Steele dossier. That turned out to be a total hoax. The 51 agents, the intelligence, so-called intelligence agents, it was a hoax. It's all been a big hoax. It's perpetrated by the Democrats. And some stupid Republicans and foolish Republicans fall into the net. And so they try and do the Democrats' work. They're wasting their time with a guy who obviously had some very serious problems, who died 3-4 years ago. I'd rather talk about the success we have with the economy, the best we've ever had, and all of the things we've done, including the Middle East. I mean, you see it. Instead, they want to talk about the Epstein hoax. And the sad part is it's people that are really doing the Democrats' work. They're stupid people. Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you being stupid? Stop being stupid working for Democrats. Don't you remember what the intelligence guys did? Don't you remember what Comey did and Wray did? You're stupid. You're falling for it. So here's my theory to wrap it up. Donald Trump is on that list. Now, let me clarify. I don't believe in a list, as we've discussed before. There's no list. There's no Excel spreadsheet with all the crimes and names. There's a file. Files. Gobs and gobs of paper. Boxes of paper. Boxes here, boxes there, boxes everywhere. I believe Donald Trump is in those files. I do not believe he actually did anything wrong with Jeffrey Epstein. I believe if he had done something wrong with Jeffrey Epstein and was in those files during Joe Biden's presidency, they would simply would have leaked it to the media to make Donald Trump look bad and destroy him. Of course they would have. I believe powerful people inside of the deep state have made some additions to the files. I also believe this is known now inside of the Justice Department and the FBI. I believe they've informed Donald Trump, hey, we opened the books on this. Look, we got this new piece of paper and you're on it. I believe that's why he is prepping the ground, telling you hoax, 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 this is incredible. Hoax, 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 this is incredible. Do you remember the other day when Pam Bondi was asked a question? She was sitting in this big round table with Trump's cabinet in the White House. She was asked a question about the Epstein files, and Donald Trump jumps in, and it looked to everybody, myself included, like Donald Trump was protecting her. She's doing great. I'm not firing her. Don't answer that. I want you to watch this again after the theory I just laid out for you and tell me, was he protecting her or is she protecting him?
Sure. Your memo and release yesterday on Jeffrey Epstein, it left some lingering mysteries. One of the biggest ones is whether he ever worked for an American or foreign intelligence agency. The former labor secretary, who was Miami U.S. attorney, Alex Acosta, he allegedly said that he did work for an intelligence agency. So could you resolve whether or not he did? And also, could you say why there was a minute missing from the jailhouse tape?
Yeah, sure.
If hey, Pam, could I just interrupt for a second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like
I think the deep state put a tripwire out there. I think Donald Trump knows it. I think he's frustrated, can't release it, knows it's going to destroy a bunch of things he's doing right now, border, economy, things like that. I think he's busy trying to have a legendary presidency. He found out exactly what they did, and now he's between a rock and a hard place. I believe he's in the files. I don't believe he did anything wrong. He could have. I don't know. It's just a theory. I believe he's in the files. I believe he's been newly added to the files. And I believe the deep state put a highly, highly effective tripwire out there. And that is what we're wading through right now. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We are going to discuss Democrats next. We'll move off of this, discuss some other things. Before we discuss other things, let's make sure you're feeling well. Good. Good mood. Well rested. Good energy. How do you do these things? Well, let me tell you what we do, myself included. We get a cup of coffee. We get a cup of coffee, toss and turn at night. We have 25 cups of coffee during the day. Just got to wake up a little. Give me another cup. We're just covering up for the fact that our levels aren't where they need to be. I love coffee. I still drink it. I'm not insulting it. Not trying to take that away from you. But you need natural herbal supplements from Chalk in your life. Once you start, give it 2-3 months. You won't need another cup of coffee. You'll want some. I still have some coffee. But you won't ever be in that place where, oh my gosh, I gotta shake the cobwebs out and wake up. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk have changed my life over 3 years. I've been taking a male vitality stack. I feel so good all the time. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. All right, so that was enough heavy stuff for our side. Let's do something just for a couple minutes here that makes you, me, feel a little bit better. Let's trash Democrats. Listen, yes, I know we've got problems. No question about that. They are in complete disarray right now. Complete disarray. There's always, whenever a party loses an election, that happens with us, happens with them. When you lose an election, there's generally some sniping afterwards, some disagreements afterwards, because that's normal. Like that old JFK saying, victory has 1,000 fathers, defeat is an orphan. Who's to blame? I'm not to blame. You're to blame. So that's very common. But this Democrat after fighting just simply will not go away because they don't know what to do. And it really comes down to these basics. The Democrat Party is now guided by their most radical, insane base. That's just a fact. They have positions now, the party as a whole, not one random congressman, not just Jasmine Crocker or something like that. They have positions now as a party that are radically out of step with normal Americans. I'm not talking about me. I hate everything about them. I'm talking about normal Americans. You tell a normal American that you should open up the border and that your son should chop his penis off and become a woman. Normal Americans say, okay, who are you people? They're wildly out of step with normal Americans. And some people inside the Democrat Party know it. It's not that they don't believe those crazy things, but they know we should probably shut up about the tranny stuff. It doesn't play well. But then remember, we just discussed the radicals have taken over the party and they're making the calls. And so anyone who's attempting to be an adult, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Barack Obama, who I despise, he knows what's playing well and what's not playing well. Remember, the man got elected twice. He knows how to politic nationally. He's come out and said, oh, I should probably back off of this a little bit, back off of that. But then the second you step up and say something, the minions run to TV and trash you for saying that.
President Obama had a blunt message for Democrats at a private fundraiser in New Jersey over the weekend. Toughen up, he says. Democrats need to speak out more forcefully against you-know-who, that they should stop looking for a messiah, and it's going to require less navel-gazing and a little less whining. Now, billionaire Mark Cuban also took aim at political messaging on the left. This has not been about Democrats laying back. This has been about y'all. This has been about y'all because their messaging was always the same. Democrats have been angry at what this man tried to do the last time. They've been angry this time. So I, with much due respect to you both, I believe you are pointing the finger at the wrong person when you say Democrats.
Even some lighthearted criticism gets met with that every single time. So let me show you an example of what they're going to try to do. We've discussed before how Democrats, they will attempt to walk a tightrope, a very careful tightrope. And their tightrope is this. It's very difficult to walk. They understand the average Democrat voter now, it's not some union guy, it's something like that. The average Democrat voter now is an America-hating demon. That's just, look, go look at the poll numbers for what they wanted to do to people who weren't vaccinated. Democrat voters are insane. That is the direction the party has gone. And even the Democrats who aren't that way are too scared to bring anything else up. Democrats who want to get elected know, I have to let the animals know I'm going to burn down America as if I can. But you can't come out and say that because then you can't win elections. So they're going to try to walk the tightrope, let the animals know you'll burn down America, but say things that make normie American kind of think you're one of the reasonable ones. You want a perfect example of this? Listen to Gavin Newsom's answer on the Sean Ryan show. Listen to this.
You care about farmers and ranchers? If that's what your, like, your number one go-to commitment, then you sure as hell care, should care about their workers. 41% of our construction workers, Texas and California have the highest percentage of their construction workers that would fall into that category. How the hell do we rebuild Altadena and Palisades? We're gonna need a peak next year. We estimate about 70,000 workers. Without that workforce, ain't gonna happen. You're struggling here. You imagine it peak there. So I think there needs to be a pathway for those folks as we secure the border and we own that issue.
Do you feel that they're taking American jobs?
Not in Tulare County, not in Ventura County. I don't know many people that want a job out there in those packing facilities. Mm-hmm. I don't see many people look like me jumping at those jobs. I just don't. Maybe there's some exceptions. I haven't seen the evidence of that.
Sounds reasonable, right? Hey, what about the farmers? Don't you remember the Palisades? Don't you feel bad for the Palisades? Oh, a pathway for citizenship, but we'll secure the border. Tightrope. The demons hear what they want. The normies hear what they want. That's going to be the Democrat strategy for 2026 and 2028. Get ready. We'll be talking a lot about the tightrope. All right, let's move on. Let's talk to John Phillips about Gavin Newsom and other things. Before we do that, let me talk to you about fresh things. We care about freshness, don't we? Most of the time. You care about fresh bread, fresh fruit, fresh meat, fresh veggies if you're gross. I don't eat that, of course. But when it comes to olive oil, we walk down the olive oil aisle in the grocery store and we just grab a bottle. You know that olive oil, like all of it's old. Months, sometimes years old. What about olive oil fresh from a farm? That'd be nice, right? Well, you can have that. You go to farmfresh246.com, and here's what you do. They'll send you a free $39 bottle of olive oil fresh from the farm. You pay $1 to cover the shipping. You will see exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not asking you to sign up for some mailing list or something like that. Farmfresh246.com. We'll be back. Well, look, I realize Republicans are in the middle of our own little dust up here and controversy, and there is a split and there's good and bad, and I got all that. That's the way it goes. But man alive, it's not going well for Democrats. They're nationally unpopular, and some of them might be going to jail. Maybe. I don't know. Joining me now, John Phillips, host of the amazing John Phillips Show, my go-to on so much of this stuff. Okay, John, is Adam Schiff going to jail?
If you put people in jail for lying on bank forms, I think there's no question about it. That's exactly what he did. As a member of Congress in the state of California, you're required to maintain your residency here. Now, before he was elected to the U.S. Senate, and that was a close election, at least in the primary, where he and Steve Garvey were running neck and pencil neck. And he, of course, ended up winning that seat and moving from the House to the Senate. But he basically had moved his family from California to Maryland a long time ago. if you're a congressman from one of those East Coast states, it's easy. As we know, Joe Biden would ride the Amtrak. Some of them, if you represent Maryland or nearby states, you can just drive to the Capitol. But if you represent California, that's a long flight. That's a 6-hour flight. So a lot of them just move their wife, they move their kids to D.C., and they basically live there. And it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod. Okay, you maintain a residence in California. And that's what he did. But he bought this large, opulent house in Maryland. And what he needed to do to secure the good loan was to tell the bank that that was his domicile, that was his primary residence. And that's what he put down on all of those bank documents. Now, if that was your primary residence, then you're a resident of Maryland. You're not a resident of California, and you would not qualify for the ballot to be a member of Congress representing the state of California. But he basically told the bank that that was his residence and no one else. Everyone else was told that he lives in this tiny little one-bedroom, I think it is, condo in Burbank. He's got, what, a large family, couple wife, couple of kids. And we're supposed to believe that they're living in a tiny little condo in Burbank when they have this big house in Maryland that's just, you know, a secondary home. No one's buying it.
Okay, it certainly sounds sleazy, not surprising at all because it's Adam Schiff. I mean, that's really kind of what he does. But it also doesn't sound like that's the kind of thing that's going to have him in an orange jumpsuit. And I don't like to oversell people and underdeliver this. Doesn't sound like it's going to go all the way, but am I wrong?
It just depends on the jurisdiction. So there are members of the California legislature in the same county as Adam Schiff, Los Angeles County, that ended up going to jail for doing just that. So if you're a member of the House in California, you can live anywhere you want in the state. You don't have to live in your district. It's politically beneficial to live in your district, but you don't have to live there. If you are a member of the state legislature or a member of the city council in Los Angeles, let's say, the state of California requires you to live in the district. If you don't live in the district, you are subject to prosecution. There is a state senator by the name of Rod Wright who represented a district in Los Angeles County that he did not live in. He had a property there, but he didn't live there, and they could prove it. And he was criminally convicted and did some time. There is a member of the LA City Council who did the same thing. He represented a district he did not live in. They could prove that. He was criminally convicted and is barred from running for office again here in California. So we have prosecuted that before in the county that Adam Schiff lives in. Now we have a different district attorney now, and I don't think this guy is going to be as aggressive as Steve Cooley was, but it is something that they typically do enforce in LA County.
How about that? Well, that would be something to see. All right, we're going to stay in California because Gavin Newsom he's so transparent, he might as well be a window. He's going on right-wing podcasts to try to make himself not look like the spawn of Satan that he is. Here he was on Sean Ryan's show, all about them guns.
Brother, this is fabulous. You know what? Last thing people would expect is that I respect this gift.
Really?
I appreciate, yeah, man. I'm not anti-gun at all. I'm for just some gun safe common sense that I think vast majority of folks on the right and the left agree. And I think we've lost a little touch with some common sense around background checks.
He's just about common sense, John.
Oh, yeah. When he was lieutenant governor and he was trying to make noise for his run for governor of California, he did so by advocating for gun control. I mean, that was his entire cause when he was lieutenant governor, and he tried to attach himself to that issue so that he could, you know, increase his name ID and get his name in the newspapers and all of those things. But now that he has to run in South Carolina, man, he's just John Wayne. He doesn't even flip the switch to turn the light off at home. He just shoots it out.
He also still does have a bit of a COVID problem. Joe Rogan apparently sent in a question, and well, here it was.
This is from Joe Rogan.
Oh, God.
This is a tough one.
He won't have me on the show, by the way.
Who will be held accountable for mandating COVID-19 vaccines for children, which were unnecessary and ineffective? And who will take responsibility for the unprecedented increases in myocarditis and cancer cases among them? Second to that, do you feel any remorse for that draconian decision that was obviously heavily influenced by the pharmaceutical company's desire for maximum profit?
Yeah, I mean, I've signed some of the most progressive laws against big pharma in the country, so I have receipts on that. So no one should suggest that it was about doing the bidding of big pharma, quite the contrary. And I know everyone's a goddamn genius now in hindsight, but at the time, none of us knew what we were up against, including the president of the United States, who I worked very closely with. There wasn't a Democratic governor in America that worked closer during the pandemic than I did with Donald Trump.
John, I don't need any help to hate Gavin Newsom, but I'll tell you, brother, he's pretty slippery. Is this act going to work?
You notice, by the way, that the swearing is part of the new act, too, where he comes across as more authentic. Oh. It just curses nonstop. So now it's Governor Andrew Dice Newsom. It's not just the vaccine requirements that he was responsible for. And believe me, we had them. I could not go to dinner without showing proof of vaccination. They would not let me in the building. He turned the hosts and hostesses of restaurants into his vaccine police. And that happened all over the state. They punished people who chose not to take the vaccine. But just take the vaccines off the table for a second. He would do things like arrest people for windsurfing in the ocean by themselves. He shut down the golf courses. He shut down the tennis courts. He shut down the parks. He shut down all of these things that had nothing to do with the spread of COVID. And if you complained about it, you were anti-science. And we've later learned that people like Adam Schiff would work with Silicon Valley to try to deplatform you so your voice wouldn't be out in the public domain. As I learned, by the way, from a lawsuit that was brought up against the Department of Public Health, the LA County Department of Public Health, through documents that were uncovered in that lawsuit, I found out that Adam Schiff and the LA County Department of Public Health were trying to get me kicked off of Twitter. So I say this not as someone who read about it in the paper, but someone who they actively tried to silence over all of this. And then you have the schools, where the schools were shut down for over a year. And as part of the agreement for them to go back in some of these districts, including the largest districts in the state, they had to agree to all kinds of pay increases. They had to agree to defund the school police. This long laundry list of left-wing Christmas wishes were granted to finally get the teachers to come back to work. That's Gavin Newsom's California. And that's the story that he doesn't want the rest of the nation to know. But that is the story of what life was like in California during COVID. And he can go on these podcasts and he can try to rewrite history all he wants. All they have to do to disprove his claims is to talk to someone who lives here. And we'll tell you what life was like under Warden Newsom.
Does the voter know that, though, John? I know, obviously, your listeners are going to know that. People who watch this are going to know that. But voters are, in mass, fickle beasts. They forget quickly. There's new problems, new this, new that, new scandal, new this. Have people let it go?
Here's the thing with Gavin Newsom. When the focus is on Gavin Newsom and his performance in California, his numbers drop like a stone. His numbers are not strong in California. What he does when his numbers start to go down is he picks a fight with the federal government. He picks a fight with Donald Trump, and he tries to federalize everything because we are a deep blue state. So if the focus is on COVID or the bullet train or the state budget or the insurance crisis or a failure to mitigate for fire risk or whatever the case may be, his numbers go down. But if he picks a fight with Donald Trump and looks like the leader of the resistance, or if he picks a fight over abortion, or he goes at it with Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott, his numbers go up. Because politics is so tribal right now, if he looks just like the Democratic standard bearer, if he looks like the angriest Democrat in the room who's pushing back the hardest on Donald Trump, then in a partisan context, he becomes more popular. And that's what he does to save himself in California. He runs away from his own record in California. If that Democratic primary is about how California was run while he was governor, he's going to lose. If that Democratic primary becomes who hates Donald Trump the most, he could be the actor that reads that script probably better than many of them.
He is a wily one. John, thank you, brother. As always, I appreciate you. All right. The climate stuff's kind of quiet right now, right? I mean, they're always making a little bit of noise, but did we finally defeat the climate nutters? Let's talk to Mark Morano about that in a moment. Before we talk to Mark, let me talk to you about your cell phone provider. There are many, many ways here in this country that we can't put our money where our morals are. Sometimes we're trapped in a school system we can't afford to get out of. Sometimes you need a new car. You want one that doesn't celebrate Pride Month. Well, good luck finding that. I mean, sometimes we are just trapped. But when it comes to your mobile provider, you're no longer trapped. You do not have to have Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. In fact, you shouldn't. Pure Talk's giving you the same service, same phone, and keep your phone, or brand new phone. Keep your phone number or brand new one. You'll pay way less. I know it's a double negative, but there's no reason not to switch. No reason not to switch, and it's run by a veteran who cares about veterans, and they don't give to Pride Month. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
...20 leading technology and energy companies are announcing more than $92 billion of investments in Pennsylvania. And if you want, we could probably get them up. Let's talk to them right now. This is a really triumphant day for the people of the Commonwealth and for the United States of America. We're doing things that nobody ever thought possible.
That sounds like good news. Joining me now, my friend Mark Morano, executive editor at ClimateDepot.com. Okay, Mark, I guess that begs the question, first of all, what kind of investments are we talking about here?
Well, this is massive investments. So we'll end up totaling, you know, initially $92 billion. It could be hundreds of billions throughout the country. And a lot of these are the old Rust Belt areas that saw factories go idle as we were hollowed out our industrial base. So what Trump's doing now is, and it's not all taxpayer money. That's the other bit of good news. He's lining up investment. He's allowing incentives so that these big AI data centers and other things can go into these distressed areas, if you will. If you remember Jack Kemp, when he was the housing, urban, and development, this is going way back to the Bush administration and even the Reagan administration, he had this idea of the urban enterprise zones. That's sort of what Trump is doing here. It's an updated version of the blue collar conservatism of Jack Kemp from the 1980s and 90s. And he's investing in these areas. He had the big meeting in Pittsburgh, and they're going to be, in addition to just the data centers and building AI infrastructures and trying to get America to lead it, the most significant thing, Jesse, about this isn't even AI. It's the fact that AI killed the entire climate change agenda. Wind, solar, battery technologies are not able to power this. How do we know that? BlackRock, who was at this meeting, Larry Fink, admitted, this is what he admitted last year, that solar and wind, intermittent green energy cannot power this. So if any reservation, I have a lot of reservations about AI. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like the idea of taxpayer money favors going to these big tech companies that will somehow use AI against us. I'm convinced of that in very short order, you know, with a change of presidency down the road. But the bright spot is jobs, investment, national security, and the biggest is energy. We are now seeing Facebook getting nuclear power plants. We're seeing Bill Gates. In this case, Trump is resurrecting an old announcement as part of this AI investment, resurrecting old, you know, now defunct coal plants and resurrecting them. They're preventing old coal plants from going offline. They're opening new gas plants. This is truly the big bright spot of AI. I know I have a lot of issues related to World Economic Forum. Remember, this was the AI is the reason Yuval Harari, the right-hand man of Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, said we'd all be useless eaters and we needed psychotropic drugs and video games to occupy us because once AI took over. So there's a lot of issues with AI down the road, but right now this is an American renaissance. We just have to put in a lot of safeguards. And what Trump is doing is phenomenal on domestic American energy picking these enterprise zones. And that's the best phrase. And it's a harkens back to the late Jack Kemp when I say that.
Mark, I have to ask a question, and maybe it's my imagination, or maybe I'm deep in a bubble. We all have our own bubbles, I admit that, but it feels like the climate nutters are losing right now. I look around, and maybe it's just because, you know, we don't have a Democrat president anymore, but I look around internationally too. It doesn't feel like they're winning. I know they still have all kinds of power, but is this cult, this sick demonic religion of mass death, is it dying itself?
You know, here's why we can't say it's dying, at least yet. Even if it appears, and you're absolutely right, Jesse, there has been no pushback on everything Trump's done, no pushback on everything Milei has done in Argentina, no pushback on the German elections where they mocked the climate agenda, no pushback even on the Netherlands farmers in the EU. They halted the Green Deal based on the farmers throwing manure at the headquarters in Brussels of the EU. And I've been to the Brussels EU. That's a perfect place to smear manure all over that bureaucratic building. But the problem is you have the Getty Foundation, you have Bloomberg, you have Bezos, you have Bill Gates, you have all these other billionaire foundations, Richard Branson, all invested heavily. They give billions to media corporations from the Associated Press to NPR. So they're still churning out. Academia is still infiltrated with all the funding. They're still churning out all the crap studies. Just this last week, a study about how vanilla ice cream will be no more. But your point is very well taken, and that it's not going to go away or fade away. It's just going to be gone. They're either going to switch to something else. I think for a few years there, and you know, I was a big proponent of this, and I think it could have happened had things gone a slightly different. They were trying to combine public health and climate. They're still doing it. In fact, the World Health Organization just announced yesterday that gasoline is now considered automotive gasoline. Whatever the regular stuff you put in your car is going to be classified as a carcinogen, which means it's going to trigger all kinds of public health regulations on automobiles globally, or at least for countries. We're out of the World Health Organization, at least while Trump's president. So that's where it was there. But right now we are seeing the utter and complete rejection across the globe. Even in Canada, where Mark Carney, if Justin Trudeau was a puppet of the World Economic Forum, he was just on a little strings and Justin Trudeau would dance. Mark Carney, their current prime minister, former head of the Bank of England, Bank of Canada, World Economic Forum official. He is the guy that pulls the strings. He's the mastermind. Even he was forced to zero out Canada's carbon tax. They didn't abolish it, but they zeroed it out, essentially removing it for the time being. This is shocking stuff no one could have envisioned. Just even a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, the whole world has changed. And what's most shocking, there has been no pushback, even in the United States. I just came back from a meeting with Trump EPA officials in Washington, and they were talking, the difference between Trump's first term and second term with EPA, first of all, Lee Zeldin deserves the award for his done. I think he's the most consequential Trump cabinet member, number one, and I think he's the most consequential EPA chief in the entire history of the agency. They're going after permanence. They're going after the endangerment finding that says CO2 is a pollutant. They're going after the UN climate agenda, withdrawing the US from the original Rio Treaty. They're going to try to do all sorts of things where the next president can't just put us all back in. They're going to make it very hard and permanent, the changes they're making. But if you remember Trump's first term, even the slightest rhetorical pushback, you had the EPA chief hassled by in restaurants by climate activists. There's none of that this time around. It's almost as if they realize their scam is up and they have to lay dormant for a while until they can regroup.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Mark, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. Lighten the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And much as I dislike Mike Johnson, weak and pathetic, I will say he did do a pretty funny Trump impression.
I know that you do some amazing impersonations of Donald Trump. Can you do one for us?
No, now? I just hear his voice in my head when I'm relaying a conversation we've had. It comes out in his voice, you know? And, yeah.
What did he say to you about the one big beautiful bill? Was there something
Well, quick story. So when we named it, we were in the Oval Office. We were sitting in front of the Resolute desk. He's at the desk, and Thune was here, and Jason Smith, the Ways and Means chair, and I think JD was there, and other staffers, and the president said, "What are we going to name? What are we going to call it?" And Jason Smith says, "Well, sir, we got a few great options. You know, these are, you know, clever acronyms." He goes, "No, I just think we call it the One Big Beautiful." But don't you think that's great? That's so simple. It's great. You know? And he passed it around to us on a piece of paper in big bold font, One Big Beautiful. And he goes, "Now, can we put an exclamation point?" I said, "Sir, no, we can't do an exclamation point. That's not a thing in legislation, you know."
Not bad. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.